Hey everyone, welcome to Thriving Marriage with Mark and Bethany. This is our weekly discussion of marriage and family and the Christian life. And we want to talk today about what to do if you are interested and invested in working on your marriage relationship, but your spouse is not necessarily on the same page about that. If it's kind of this one-sided thing where you feel the urge or the need to work on your marriage, but that's not being met with much enthusiasm or activity by your spouse. What do you do in that situation?
I think what probably occurs often is if you think this is important and somebody else is saying, not right now, the temptation is to be angry and frustrated at the person. You know, like, why don't you see that this is important? Why won't you engage in this sort of level of work? You're telling me you don't think we need to work. I mean, I can just see that the feelings of frustration might come quickly if you feel like I see a need here and you're disagreeing with me or you don't have time or whatever it might be.
So one thing to address right out of the gate on this kind of episode is to acknowledge that the desire to work on your marriage is good, right? That's a good thing, generally speaking.
Yeah.
It's a good impulse to want to grow in every area of your Christian life. And, you know, here's a big, big part of your life. It's your marriage relationship. So to have the desire to want to grow in your marriage, that's a good thing. I want to commend it, right? But as soon as I say that, I also want to issue a warning to people out there who might go a little too far with this and take their desire to work on their marriage and use that as a weapon against their spouse who doesn't want to work on the marriage. And now all of a sudden you take this good desire and you start beating your spouse over the head with it and, you know, feeling better than them and using it against them and saying, look, I want to work on my marriage and you don't, and I'm better than you, basically, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you've just taken a good thing and you've gone too far, and it's now a bad thing, right? So be really careful not to kind of fall into that trap.
Yeah, I mean, I instantly think about that proverb, which I try to think about, that says it's better to live in the corner of a housetop than to, you know, live with a fretful woman, or quarrelsome is the word that you don't say very often, woman.
Uh-huh.
And it's like the idea is, man, if I don't want to be that woman who just keeps coming after my spouse over something, and they're just like, I want to be anywhere but here. I'd rather go in the corner of my roof and be out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of why we're doing this episode, is if you want to work on your marriage and your spouse doesn't, don't be like a dripping faucet to them.
Right.
But instead, start doing these things.
Yeah.
So here are a few things that you can do, regardless of whether your spouse is invested in this same endeavor or not.
Yeah.
Okay. And the place to start is the obvious place, and that is that this should become a part of your prayer life. I'm not just referring to an occasional prayer on the go, almost as an afterthought, but this should become central in your focused prayer life.
Yeah. I like to put, I mean, I'm a little type A in it, but I like to put a reminder on the calendar or in my prayer journal, wherever it might be, where it says, pray about this thing. I mean, if there's some big desire in my heart and I believe it's important and for whatever reason God has not said yes yet to it, whatever that might be, which we're talking about, you know, working on a marriage and my spouse isn't wanting to get involved, I'm going to put that on my daily prayer reminder and say, God, let me bring this before you. Not only am I going to ask him to change your heart, if that's his will, which I think that's important, if that's his will, but then also that I would not be upset if I don't get my way. And there's a lot of, there's a lot more within that prayer, but at least praying, God, help me to be content with your will. And then like, please change his heart. I would love to see this desire met.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Yeah, those are good prayers to pray. Those are good for you to ask God because he answers our prayers that are in line with his will, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it's also good for our hearts when we pray.
Yeah.
Our hearts get adjusted and fine-tuned when we go through the process of praying and ultimately submitting our will to the Lord's. And so that is a good thing for us to do, absolutely. I think another aspect of this, along those lines, that second point that I bring up there, is that this idea of working on yourself, recognizing you can't change your spouse, you can't change any other person as much as you might want to.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. That's out of the scope of your ability. And what you can do is change yourself. You can work on your own mind, your own heart, your own issues, and that's what you should focus on.
Yeah, I can actually remember a conversation I had with a wife who was in, I mean, basically bringing up the same thing. Oh, I've talked to my husband. I want him to do X, Y, Z in our marriage, and I want him to work at it, and he seems too tired or too busy or not right now. And, you know, I mean, after listening and asking some questions, a lot of it was just, well, what can you do then to work on yourself? You cannot say to him, or you can't take control of his spiritual life, his sanctification. You can't force him to do whatever you want him to do. But you have an opportunity to say, well, what can I see about myself in this area? What do I see as a need for me to work on? And how can I grow? And you know what? In your work and effort, as you are reading God's word and as you're submitting yourself, putting yourself underneath the authority of Scripture, your conduct will change, your attitudes and words will likely change as you become more like Christ. And you know what? I mean, it's not a promise, but he may end up being won over or seeing a difference or saying, wow, I see that you're really growing in this area, and there might be some shifting with him. But even if there isn't, you can work on you. You can say, I'm going to grow, and say, okay, Lord, whatever my part is in this marriage situation, I want to be more like Jesus.
Yeah, I think that's great. And that is something that we can do. We can take initiative to work on our own life and grow in ways to become more like Christ by God's grace. And that is time and effort well spent. And I think our attitude needs to shift in, you know, as we go through that, and just for us to recognize that this is what God has for us right now. He's put us in this situation. He's put us in these circumstances. He's given us this spouse, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, this marriage is his plan for us. And we have to lean into that and embrace that and recognize that this challenge is God's current assignment for you. Even if your spouse doesn't want to make any growth or progress, and there's challenges that come with that, okay? Your assignment is to navigate this. You can please God in the way you work through this challenge that he has put on your plate. And you should view it then as an act of worship. This is your cross to bear right now in your life. And so you should lean into that and bear it with all the right kinds of attitudes that you can have in going through a challenge. So I think there's a mindset shift that goes along with your proactive work.
Yeah.
And kind of just embracing God's assignment for you right now.
Which is really encouraging. Thinking, well, even when you can step back and say, oh, this is what God has for me. We know that God is in control of our situation, and we know that we can trust him even when we don't understand or don't agree. And so I think it's a really encouraging aspect that if your spouse is saying, I don't have the time, I'm not interested, whatever, I don't see the same need, okay, well, that's something that God knows is there, and so God is, you know, going to grow me through this. I can see this as something that's going to be maybe difficult for me, but it's almost like there's a little more joy in facing it because you can say, oh, this is not just a random circumstance, or, I'm not sure how to handle it, or God isn't paying attention to me. It's like, no, I know God has this for me, and so I'm going to walk through it and honor him in it. And that's helpful because that shifts our mindset maybe a little bit and gives us some perspective outside mm-hmm. of our situation.
Mm-hmm. A passage that I love is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, and it says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials." Mm-hmm. And here's one of the reasons why. So the tested genuineness of your faith could be found to result in praise, honor, and glory. Okay, well, that's great. There's these two words in that verse that have always really stood out to me, and they're the two little words, if necessary. And they're actually bracketed off by commas. You rejoice for a little while. If necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. And so what that tells me is that there's not a single trial in my life that is not necessary. As soon as it becomes unnecessary, God takes it out of our lives. He only puts, quote unquote, necessary trials challenges there for us. And so, again, this is probably just we're kind of hitting this from a couple different angles just to point out the fact that God is not making mistakes in our lives. He's putting issues and challenges, you know, circumstances in our lives for us to be faithful to Him in and through. And all of that, perhaps, can lead to an attitude of contentment. Whether, you know, it could be that you pray about these things, you change your attitude, you proactively work on these things, and your spouse, you know, comes around and wants to work on it. Okay, great.
Right.
But it could be that they don't. And regardless of whether they do or whether they don't, you can and should develop this Christian attitude of contentment.
Yeah. And I was thinking along the lines of that contentment that goes hand in hand with it is an ability to be thankful for the good things that you have in your spouse. I know that if I only think about the things I wish were changed or want to fix, then I'm going to not be content and I'm going to be more upset and more down in general, just kind of viewing the world, this marriage relationship or whatever area of life, and thinking, oh, I wish I had these things. I don't have these things. How much it shifts when I say, wow, look at what look what my husband is doing. Look at the way he does provide for me. Look at the way he does, you know, thank me for the dinner every night. Look at the way he does X, Y, Z. And I think the more times you can say thank you, God, and thank you, spouse, for the things that you are doing, it does help you to be more content and to have not just a laundry list of I wish you would do these things, but rather, wow, I'm so grateful that these are the things you're doing, and I can highlight them and I can see them and I can remind myself so that I'm not just, when is it going to happen or when are you going to change, which would cause me to be discontent and upset, but rather thank you for all that you do. Thank you, God, and thank you, spouse.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's just a simple choice. You can choose kind of what to dwell on, and is it all the stuff that's not there, or is it all the stuff that is there? And dwelling on the stuff that is there can help you to be more expressively thankful and to articulate more of what you should be articulating. And to sit there and dwell on the negative is going to lead to you complaining and thinking about what you don't have. And so there is a simple choice there. And making the right one seems fairly obvious when we say it here in this podcast, but harder to do in the moment, right?
A lot harder. Sometimes you can be thinking the right, like, I know what I need to do right now to shift my mindset. I know what I need to put my mind on. And those emotions, at least for me, those emotions are waging war against my brain speaking truth to me. And so I might have to speak God's word to myself many times. You know, I wish I could flip a switch. I really do sometimes when I apply this, you know, when I'm discontent, I'm ungrateful for whatever it might be. And then I go, oh, but look at all this great stuff. I wish it was a flip switch. But sometimes it might take repetition. It might take a few hours or days or I don't know, whatever it might be. But that's something we need to work at. Because it's simple but hard. doesn't that sound like marriage?
Yeah.
Simple, here's the answer, but it's difficult to apply.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's some good answers to the question that we've offered. One resource that we've been talking about here on the podcast is this brand new book that Bethany and I have written on called Thriving Marriage. And this is the kind of book that you could pick up and you could work through, and it could help you to grow personally, individually, in your role as a husband or as a wife, regardless of whether your spouse, you know, wants to go through the book or not. It's something that you could do and it could be helpful. And so we were pointing people that way. I want to encourage you to check it out. Go to compasspress.com and find the Thriving Marriage book. And it could be the case that if you go through the book, maybe your spouse wants to go through it after you, or maybe they're going to want to go through it at the same time. But regardless, we do think that you can and should make progress on your side of the relationship.
Yeah, it's great. All right. Well, thanks for listening in. We'll chat with you next time.
See ya.